In Maine, voters repealed a state law yesterday that would have allowed same-sex couples to get married. Gay marriage has now lost in all 31 states in which it's been put to a popular vote. That's a trend that they'd hoped to reverse in Maine, but it didn't turn out to be the same. And you have to wonder, John, if civil rights for women or blacks, if those had been put to popular vote, if they those had been passed as well. It seems like the history of America is about courts and legislatures adding to the rights that we have.
Well, certainly there's an ideological component to the discussion of same-sex marriage that is absent from the civil rights discussions in the Supreme Court, that's for sure.
It is. And well, one of the things that they often bring up when they're talking about same-sex marriage is children.
We want strong families. We feel that mothers and fathers matter in the lives of children.
We think marriage does strengthen families and protect children, and that's why we should end discrimination.
This is about preserving traditional marriage and the benefits to children, the benefits for having moms and dads in their lives.
That's Brian Suchet. He's with the Stand for Marriage Maine group, and Sheena Bellows from Protect Maine Equality. They spoke earlier this week on the show. They're talking about the benefits or drawbacks of gay partnerships on the children, what kind of effects they have on children. Well, before now, we really haven't known who's correct in this debate over how gay marriage affects kids. But Lisa Belkin, our friend Lisa Belkin, writes in this weekend's New York Times Magazine, there's now comprehensive new studies that show that children raised by gay parents don't seem to be harmed by the experience. In fact, Lisa, there's some benefit to it, correct?
You could look at it as a benefit, yes. I mean, if you wanted to take a broad sweep of the evidence, you could even argue that these children do better in many ways. They're more flexible, they're more tolerant, they're more likely to try different things in life that maybe their parents hadn't thought of.
More open-minded, perhaps.
More open-minded. Okay. And they certainly are no worse off. I mean, they have problems, but they don't have more problems than children raised by two opposite sex parents or by one parent or by any other kind of parent.
Okay, and so these benefits accrue even if you account for age and socioeconomic status, those kinds of things?
Yeah, there are about 100 studies out there now because right. We now have a larger cohort that's old enough to actually study. And it took time until these kids became old enough in large enough numbers.
Okay, so let's actually talk to one of these kids. Becca Lazarus joins us. She's a 15-year-old who's being raised by two dads in Windsor, Connecticut. Good morning, Becca.
Good morning.
For those of us who are looking at these studies and saying, wow, this is surprising, this is probably not surprising results for you, correct?
From my experience, no, not really.
Tell me about how the parenting dynamic works in your house. How does the parent-child relationship work between you and your two fathers?
It is very strong. Me and my parents are very, very close.
One more of a disciplinarian? Who goes over your report card with you? Who helps you with homework? How does it all work?
Both of them go over my report card, discipline me, and help me with my homework, and It's I don't want to say this, but it's a lot like I've been to my friend's household, and it's a lot like that. But just, I don't have a mother, I have two fathers.
Do you celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day?
I celebrate Mother's Day with my godparents, and I also, I had a mother, and I go visit her at the cemetery where she is, and I go
she
visit
passed
my
away.
Grandmother. Yeah.
So, how about your relationship with other kids? Do you feel different from your peers at school?
Not at all. I live in a very diverse town, and I'm very proud to show who I am. I'm very proud to say who my parents are, and everybody, for the most part, accepts me.
Becca, so. My 11-year-old daughters have a question for you, and they're raised in a household of two heterosexual parents. Okay.
Okay.
They would want to know: is having two dads as parents possibly just as annoying as having a mom and a dad, male, female?
it is.
Parents can be annoying no matter what. Okay, good. I just wanted to set that straight.
So, Lisa, Becca sounds extremely normal.
Becca sounds typical of what the data show, and, not
right.
to turn Becca into data. And
right.
nobody is absolutely, I mean, there is a range, and not a single statement can apply to everyone, obviously.
Right.
But the dynamic in a same-sex couple is not gender-based. So you're starting out with a couple who doesn't default to gender, who doesn't automatically say, you do this, I do this, because society assumes. So there is more, necessarily, conversation. There's more variety. There's more equality. And this is something being modeled for kids that they don't get necessarily or as easily in a heterosexual couple.
So the models
are
kind of all
different.
Over the map.
The models are more equal on
average. So maybe Becca doesn't have any assumptions about what she can or cannot do based on her gender. Becca,
yes?
Have you ever missed having that female presence in the house?
Not at all. I'm
really? Not even talk about makeup or shaving your legs or as you get into teenage years, what clothes you want to wear to dances?
My parents are very good at helping with me with clothes for the dances, trust me. I've been there. And...
All right. Well, Becca, at the risk of being very insensitive here, okay, do your dads, approve of your wardrobe? And do you have to help them, change a tire or something like that? I mean, are the models really up in the air like this?
Well, they approve of my attire. Like, even my dad comes with me shopping and actually sometimes helps me pick out my clothes. And he knows what I like. We know what we like and all that. And every once in a while, yes, I do help them, and they help me, and it's just very...
Here's the question for me, Becca, because typically, and for most of my friends, when you get to dating, and you're 15 years old, you must be at that age, it's generally the father that threatens your date when he comes through the door with physical harm, and you have two of those dads. are your boyfriends, are your dates intimidated by two men standing there glaring at them as they come to pick you up?
She could have girlfriends, you know.
She could?
Yes, I am dating. And my one boyfriend before the one I have now, was very intimidated by my father. because to me, my parents, I'm an only child, so I'm their... and they're very protective of me in that way.
Yeah, I bet.
My boyfriend now has two overprotective mothers. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah.
Lisa, I mean, this is these studies of families. Very often, these studies come out about families and parenting and children. It's kind of ho-hum, but I imagine this one is going to get a lot of attention and politicized attention. Is it possible that this data can be questioned? You said that there's 100 studies, but can it be read in another way?
You can question any data, obviously. And yes, every study is not as perfect as every other one, but we're talking, I mean, this is the first time that someone has across the board looked at 100 of these studies, and it was done by a professor at Clark University. And the methodology is good. I mean, this is solid academic data. You can play it any way you want. Of course, there are wrinkles. It's harder to be the child of same-sex parents in that you seem to be teased more, at least about certain subjects. So there's more teasing about family. There's more teasing about sexuality. Is that a downside to a childhood? Well, arguably, yes.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's society teasing,
not your parents.
Not something inherent in the family.
Lisa Belkin is a New York Times contributing writer, author of the Motherload blog. You can check out her article on gender identity and parenting in this week's New York Times Magazine. Becca Lazarus, 15-year-old high school sophomore in Windsor, Connecticut. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. That's The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.